Okay, folks, so this is Padraig here from the Humble Coach Podcast, returning again with another great guest. Today I am joined by Stephen Kinsella from FSM in Bray, or Functional Strength Movement in Bray. It's a great gym. Stephen, thanks for coming on.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So I suppose we'll talk a little bit more of your kind of background and stuff like that, but I know Stephen for a while, and I would say he's one of the OGs, I think, as well as a few, in a nice way, I think, the OGs of CrossFit in Ireland. But we've learned a lot over the last number of years, I think.
An awful lot.
OGs, so it's interesting. But those people who don't know you guys, know you, Stephen, which there's very few, I think, at the moment. You'd be a fairly strong kind of character in the community. But could you give us a little bit of background on your coaching career and how you got into it a bit and where you're kind of at the moment, if you could?
Yeah, cool. So I originally decided to be a history teacher. Mm-hmm. And my guidance counselor told me that it was never going to happen because I didn't have the marks. So he recommended, because I was into sports, go become a personal trainer. So I went and did a fitness course. I did 3 years of college, became a personal trainer, sports therapist. I actually wanted to become a sports therapist more so than a personal trainer. And then realized I kind of didn't want to rub guys down for a living. Just kind of not my thing, whatever floats your boat. But and then I just started working my way through global gyms for the guts of 5-6 years, managed 4 gyms, opened 3, and went off to Australia, came back, went back into a global gym, kind of found CrossFit in Australia, and kind of started working with like real, nothing against other people I worked with, but real, very, very informative coaches, powerlifters, Olympic weightlifters.
Yeah.
And then obviously CrossFit was so brand new at the time. It was just crazy thing that people did. And you do it like once a week just to kind of test your limits.
Yeah.
And then came home to Ireland, helped open up another global gym, and then kind of moved into my own thing, ran a CrossFit for someone else for a year, and then opened my own FSM, which was a CrossFit, and now we're, as of last year, we removed ourselves from the CrossFit brand, just as a personal business preference, nothing to do with CrossFit, still love CrossFit and stuff like that. And I kind of specialized myself, went into a lot of weightlifting, Olympic weightlifting, loved that, not very good at it, but loved coaching it, and kind of the goal for me as a coach for the last 5-6 years is just help people live a better life. I'm not too overly concerned about creating athletes or monsters or beasts or if that happens, all well and good, but it's giving people a better quality of life and a longevity of life through fitness and nutrition. And that kind of sums me up as quickly as possible. Oh, and very big passion, if no one knows, for coaching kids.
Nice. So just on that, like I think it's a great story, and I think a lot of people would resonate with that because they would have started in the kind of global gym orientation, coming from a kind of couple of different backgrounds and stuff, and where I think that kind of experience is quite vital for the ability to adjust quite quickly. I think as you get further and further into this kind of an arena, at least the kind of CrossFit-y functional fitness arena, at least, so it gives a little bit more perspective, I think, in general.
Yeah.
Rather than just those who would only have experience of the kind of CrossFit world, so to speak, or that kind of world. And I think just you touched on it towards the end there. The next question was going to be, what would your favorite part of coaching be? Is it the day to day? Is it the kids, adults, the business, or like you were saying there, just the general quality of life kind of clients? Like you were saying there, you have a bit of a distinct favorite in the kids kind of coaching.
Yeah. My favorite, like, to be honest, what I love the most is finding someone new. Someone that doesn't understand what it's all about, doesn't understand their body, doesn't understand how it's meant to work. And just like, even for example, yesterday I had someone that's been in the gym, brand new member into the gym, has been in gyms for years, and showed me her squat. And then I showed her how to squat. And she was like, oh my God, I've been doing it wrong for so long. And that little kind of light bulb moment she gives people. And whether that's with someone that wants to compete or someone that like just wants to lose some weight or a kid for the first time understanding that they can do a handstand and it's cool. Like it doesn't matter. It's that eureka, that light bulb moment that you're able to give to any client. That's kind of my, that's what I love the most. It's those little things, those little nuggets that you get as a coach. And I find that if you really want to be a coach, that's your kind of bread and butter, where you kind of, that's what keeps you in the industry. Because as you know, like I went to college, I think we started with like 82 people. Yeah. And as of today, I know for a fact there's only two of us left after 3 years that actually work in the fitness industry. Mm. Like, it's crazy.
It's huge. But yeah, so I think like that, I would agree with that. It's those light bulb moments that are, they're pretty sweet, and they keep us definitely coming back for a lot more. And I think the kind of next thing, I suppose, then is like that, you would have a particular kind of interest now in the kids programs. And I know,
yeah,
over the last few years, you would have done a number of different kind of programs towards that. And like the current Brand X guys, Jeff Mickey are fantastic, and Johnny and stuff. And I suppose, do you see much of a difference in the viewpoints potentially from them over the last kind of number of years, be it from the CrossFit kind of element or even just taking into account your own learning on the general kids, we'll say even curriculum of PE and stuff in Ireland? Do you see much of a difference in those viewpoints or is it getting a little bit easier to actually implement things like that, and that's why you have such an interest in it?
There's a big difference, and again, not to be, well, controversial if you, how you ever want to take it, but I did the first CrossFit Kids cert in Europe, and that was in 2010, and I was the first person in Ireland to have it. And it was an amazing car. It was held by the Martins, which was who are now Brand X. Mm-hmm. The difference between working with Brand X, and I haven't gone any further with anything to do with CrossFit Kids in regards to, I've never kind of sought after any more of that, is their attention to perfection of a movement is essential. And their research, because they've been doing this for years and years and years, and they've brought up to their own kids, you can see what they're doing, you can see their athletes, injury rates, everything that they do, they can back it up. And I just find that there's a lot of stuff still with the CrossFit Kids program that you can go do a cert, and then you're not really given enough kind of backing, mm-hmm, to coach kids. And I know with adults it can be slightly different, but you're putting, like, if you're getting a 4 or 5 year old to overhead squat with a bar, mm-hmm, and they don't have good mechanics in a back squat or a front squat or a deadlift, there's a lot of stuff that's wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Jumping mechanics, that are knees coming in, have you fixed their jumping mechanics first before you even allow them to squat? All those little things, I find that, and with the Brand X, they hold you accountable. If you, like, they will remove you from their system if you are doing things wrong. You get mentored monthly and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm, you can't just kind of get a cert and do your own thing. You still have to follow a process. The process that you follow is the best. Regarding schools, I think it should be in schools. I think it should be this type of training should be normal physical education, which it was years ago. Yeah. But teachers kind of have lost interest in, and I know for a fact, well, that some teachers only get like a weekend, mm-hmm, of PE education in primary schools and then get sent out to play. That's why kids end up just playing sports.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's football, whatever the teacher's into, they go play hockey, go play this, and there's no actual functional movement or training. And as you know, because you run a kids program, yeah, it can be fun. Kids do enjoy running, jumping, climbing, burpees, pull-ups, learning how to lift weights. Okay. They do enjoy that, and I find kids enjoy that more because it's an individualized thing rather than, mm-hmm, a team sport.
Yeah,
which is a whole other ball game. That's a,
well, it definitely, I think, yeah, like, I think it's an interesting one on the, I agree, like, I think I would utilize a mesh of both the regular, like, the current kind of CrossFit orientation towards CrossFit Kids, but a huge amount of the Martins work, and I think I've always had a lot of time for that, and I will continue to, And I think it's a really, really great way of implementing activity with kids. And I think I'd say I would definitely use, and we would use them here, very, very much a hybrid with a distinct nod towards the Martins type of mentality program here. And you're absolutely right. The quality of movements has to take precedence no matter what in those kind of circumstances. But I think with the teaching, it's an interesting one. I know we have a number of teachers here, and I'm sure you do the same, and be it primary or secondary teachers, and they also, I think it's a distinct issue anyways, but they also teach a number of other subjects. And you can tell that there's not as much of there is
passion.
Big of, yeah, exactly. But there isn't even as broad of a mentality because they're already stretched quite thin on a few other things. So they don't have the energy. They don't have the wherewithal, and they're not really heavily pushed to have an awful lot more wherewithal. Because like that, I think there is a bit of an Irish mentality to it, that there is like, oh, look, the team sports are fantastic for building confidence and building community, building teamwork, which is fine. But I think an awful lot of the time, the children need that little bit of independence at that age, nearly.
They do, an awful lot of kids don't like team sports.
Yeah, completely. Like,
and
huge amount of don't.
And as much as we like, some people try and sugarcoat it, it's not. Like, you have to admit that sports are getting more competitive at a younger age. And the recent studies on the girls alone playing field sports with ACL tears at the age of 12, 13, kids getting elite. Like, athletes would get like ACL tears for elite sportsmen are happening in young adults, young teenagers. And that's crazy, because it is the best player plays. And regardless of what team you're on, eventually you get to a point where the best player plays. If you're no good or not coordinated, you're sent out. And the coordination could have been built on, but it's not. And then by the time you're 18, you already picked up whatever injuries you're going to have. And then you're sent into a gym with bad mechanics. With no proper supervision for most. Now, there's a lot of programs that have really good coaches, taking it away from that. But coaches taking on athletes at 18 that are broken already.
Yeah.
And like when we see it in our program, we see kids come in with bad knees, bad backs, bad hips, bad ankles, bad shoulders from playing sports under 13, 14, 15 years of age.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, well, where the mechanics should have happened on a daily when they were younger, so they didn't develop that over time.
Yeah.
But again, it's a kind of a catch 22 because if you want to play sports, or how do you implement that in the gym, or how do you implement that in the field? And I was like, well, invest your money in your kids' fitness and lifestyle, and look after them, or look after their health going forward. Like, if you were to think how many athletes are missing elite level sports because they were burnt out by 15 with injuries because they were pushed too hard to play the same sport and just destroy themselves. And just back to your like kind of what you're saying, you have a hybrid of the CrossFit and the Brand X. Like, I'm taking nothing away from the CrossFit. I just like the stricter focus on the Brand X. And that's the way I run my facility. I don't necessarily agree with everything that's out there, and I have my own kind of variation of things that we do here that would not be 100% compliant with what CrossFit would promote or what Brand X would promote. But like you yourself, like if you have a kids program, you adapt it to your coaching style and your facility and your facility's community.
Exactly.
And that's what we do here. But the main thing that I find with kids, and I see it a lot with the gyms that are starting kids programs, they just feel they have to. They're not passionate enough. Like, they go do a cert and that's it.
Yeah.
You have to have a passion. Like, we started with two kids. Two kids. It was shocking. It was hard. Two kids, two coaches. And now we have, I think our last count of yesterday was 47 kids in our program plus our team. So we're working with over 60 youths
really
on any given week. And our goal is to hit that over 100 by the end of this year. And we're on par to hit that because I love doing what I do and coach kids. I love coaching them. It's a passion. And I find if you're trying to do a kids program for money, or for the wrong reasons, I think your coaches need to be passionate about it. And if they're not, your kids' program more than likely will suffer, if not fail, long term.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. I know we've had a number of conversations here over the last year about where our kids' program fits within our facility, and I think we've definitely turned a bit of a corner. We've got a lot more clarity on exactly the direction we want to go, which makes a huge difference to then the ability to actually just implement it in a good steady way. And then also to, like you'd be the same, to be able to sell it then to the parents and actually show them the real value of the broadness and the confidence building, the improvement, the actual quality of position and the value of it when they're actually utilizing it for their particular sports at a later age. Because like that, I would deal with it on even nearly a daily basis at this stage, especially coming back. All these kind of students are coming back to college and stuff, and we get a lot of people coming in and they obviously don't have fantastic, like they have basic movement mechanics fine, but they're playing at a very good level potentially for some of their clubs and stuff, and you're like, how can you, like, why we are aware, I think, but an awful lot of other maybe less experienced coaches will just go with the more generic kind of like, light, right, we'll do this today and we'll do a lot of running, and there's still a lot of that in the sporting world, in the underage sporting world, I think, because dealing with the, like, I've seen it at first hand, be it in America and especially even here, dealing with kind of underage teams, especially women's team and girls teams, the amount of ACL work, ACL issues, and the amount of movement mechanics quality that could have definitely improved a little bit of the ability to withstand that kind of stuff, is huge. Like, some of those basic running mechanics, some of those basic landing mechanics could easily have been implemented to save a lot of that, rather than just that repetitive motion of, I'm going to train 3 times a week, we're going to do the exact same kind of mentality thing all the time.
Yeah.
And the amount of variety that could have been added. And it's not even a case of, it's like, I like the, even the, to offshoot it, the CrossFit football kind of mentality of building robust kind of athletes.
Yeah.
And you want, I don't mind if a kid kind of falls over a bit or kind of bangs off something a little bit. I'm like, do you know what? It's not a deal breaker. But also,
that's normal. It's normal. Exactly.
But at the same stage, there definitely needs to be that, that joined up thinking, I think, going for a lot of other sports, and it's an interesting one. Now, to kind of change direction a little bit, you've had the re-emphasis on the kids program and a kind of a stronger emphasis. You've implemented a kind of really strong nutrition program and nutrition coaching emphasis as well. Could you talk a little bit about that and how well you've implemented or how well it's been going, and have you enjoyed
our nutrition with our kids or just in general?
Well, just in general, but also with the kids as well. I think in general more so, if we could.
Well, like, obviously, like yourself, like when we started, it was all paleo, and it was paleo, and you didn't take supplements. Like, there was a time where CrossFit did not promote supplements, and if you don't remember that, then you're definitely not an OG in Ireland. And I do, because I remember getting stick for bringing a protein shake to class. By Mr. Colin O'Reilly gave me dog's abuse for bringing a protein shake to class. Yeah, I remember those days, and there was paleo, or there was zone originally, then paleo, and then it's just kind of gone into all different variations. For the vast majority of your clients, for my clients, and what I see with the people I've worked with over the years, and I've been working on a system for 4 years now, and every year I'm redoing the ebook and I'm redeveloping the videos I hold for my clients, and it's literally, we're breaking it down to the simplest formula. And we're going to actually release it for free online in the next couple of weeks, because it's that simple. But I think because it's that simple, it's too easy. But it's literally red, orange, green. Like, all you do is, like, you know, you're an adult, right? So you know what a green food is. You know what a healthy food is. And don't give me this trying to crack. There's no code to crack. And you know what a bad food is, like high sugar, high processed. And from that aspect, all you have to do is record your food for 5 days. And then circle everything that's green and everything that's red. Yeah. If you have more reds than greens, you know your diet's shit. You don't have to worry about calories, you don't have to worry about macros. And then all you have to do is once every week for 10 weeks, 12 weeks, change one red to one green, and then you'll have literally changed up to 80% of your diet.
Yeah.
That's how easy. Now, you'll get to a point where calories and macros need to come in. Absolutely. If you have a very specific goal. But if you're someone that can't go home without binge eating, you don't need to look at anything else, in my opinion. And we've seen people lose up to, in a 12-week period, 11, 12 kilos, and all they did was record their food and just went red, orange, green, I'm going to make a change on Tuesday at lunchtime, I'm going to make that change. And that's all they did, and they lost tons of weight. It's not the only way it works, but it's the best way I found for my clients, because the last thing I want to do is go, right, here's a intense training regime, and now here's an intense nutrition program, and you need to monitor and weigh yourself and calorie count and weigh your food and all that shit. And then the whole aspect of what's coming out that I find very annoying, that food is food and you can eat what you want once you're in your calories, that's bullshit. If I eat dib dabs and ice cream every day but stead on between 2,260 calories, I won't gain weight. Here, listen, if you're promoting that, then you shouldn't be allowed on social media, in my opinion, because you might be able to get away with that, but it's the basic public. And with kids, nutrition is very simple. Does it grow? That's pretty much the catch. Does it grow? Pizza, does it grow? No. Does vegetables grow? Yeah. Do animals grow? Yes. And you don't have that, that's good, right? If the kid doesn't like vegetables, it's very simple. All I say is, would you be interested in trying a vegetable? No. Would you be interested in thinking about trying a vegetable? And I learned this from Connor Martin, actually, at a seminar. And he, well, I might think about it. Okay. Well, when the next week come in, tell me what vegetable you're thinking about. So he comes in next week or the week after and goes, hey, coach, I've been thinking about broccoli. Are you going to eat broccoli? No. But you're thinking about it. Yeah. Maybe one day you might try it. Maybe one day. He's changed his mindset and going no to vegetables to thinking about vegetables. Yeah. All right. Rather than go, you have to eat your veg. Like, depending on, like, and I take a lot away from nutrition with Dan, John, and Josh Ellis. Every person is individual. If you have someone just literally going from eating bread at every single meal and only having one slice at every single meal instead of two, you're winning the war.
Yeah.
You know, rather than going, you can't have any bread, it's bad for you. So I just think you make nutrition simple, and every person is an individualized case. If you're like an elite athlete or you want to be a bodybuilder, that's easy. It's just go strict and be extreme and eat rice and fish and eat every 2 hours and starve yourself and drink dry white wine and look lean for a couple of weeks and then, you know, you ruin it all.
Yeah.
But keep it easy.
The likes of, like, even that the way you're explaining the nutrition protocol in general for your kind of regular Joe or regular Josephine, like that, though, I think bodybuilders get a bit of a hard one sometimes, but they also are extremely good at keeping it very simple, and they also recognize the simplicity that it is, really, once you get into it. Obviously, once it gets to a certain stage, then you start have to have, with anything, you have to start kind of detailing a little bit more and playing around with a little bit more of the particular points. But even on that first kind of number of months or something like that of a prep phase, there is a lot of, like, simple, straightforward stuff, and they always have that mentality. Now, I think I like a lot of that idea, actually, for the traffic lights are, I think, are fantastic anyways, but I think that's a really interesting way of implementing it in a nice, steady way. I think I'm a huge fan of that that type of conversation also that the likes of Conor Martin would have worked with, that you'll think about doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's his whole method on, like, all the Martins did talks at the advanced seminar, and Connor's one was on positive coaching. And I thought I was a positive coach when I worked with kids, and then I was like, actually, oh, geez, well, whoa, I gotta change a few things here. But when it came to talking about food, and would you like to, it was just so simple.
Yeah.
So simple. And then that kid, he eventually tried a vegetable, didn't like it at all.
No.
But it went from not entertaining the notion of it to actually putting a piece of broccoli in his mouth.
Yeah.
That's huge, huge. And it was just like, are you willing to try?
Yeah.
And just to go back, like, I bodybuilders for me are the cream when it comes to nutrition.
Yeah.
But I think for 99% of all our clients, well, my clients anyway, they do not have the mentality, or not in a bad way, but the lifestyle, they've got kids, they don't have the good focus-driven goal to become that lean and eat that way. So you want to train hard, you want to eat well, but you want to have your glass of wine on a Friday night. You want to have your treat with your kids on the weekends. why can't you do that? And whereas most diets say you shouldn't, I'm saying, yeah, go for it, and we'll tweak everything Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
And your diet is 80 to 90% pure. The weekend you do have what you want, except the energy consequences that come with that. But if you have 3 or 4 kids in anyway, you're still barely sleeping in anyway, you're stressed to the gills. So it makes no difference. And yeah, go for that. Yeah. So it's how simple can you make it? And I think that works the most. I just think a lot of people in this day and age want, if it's too easy, it's not good. They need something extreme, like you know what I mean, like the, I don't know, some crazy diet, like for 12 days, like, you know, in January, you know, and everyone's going to do the 7-day juice diet and feel amazing. I'm feeling, I lost 11 pounds.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting one, though, because I think a lot of people, like, I know, especially, and I'm kind of fascinated by the I've always been interested, I think, with the whole advent of social media and its impact on the amount of actual, I suppose, exposure that we get to this on such a, not even like a daily basis or an hourly basis anymore, it's a minutely basis.
Constantly, yeah.
That the likes of those kind of things gain such quick traction that it definitely does expose, like, I think you're absolutely right. Like, it's such a straightforward marketing tool, and it's such an easy thing that people end up kind of, like, there are a lot of people who are not as educated and not as aware, but also, I think, are not that interested in it. But it even goes back to the likes of the kids there. It's, if you haven't built an interest, or you haven't been allowed to build an interest in activity or in the use of it and the value of it, the same as your actual good food and what it's going to do for your actual quality of life, then by the age of 15 to 20 to 25, 30, you get stuck in a bit of a job. Like, you definitely are not getting exposed on a daily basis to the actual value of what your body can do, rather than...
Exactly.
Then actually, and you're going to get much more easily influenced by the likes of those kind of things. Like, I know a number of people on social media, and I can moan about it all I want, but they will recommend certain things, and I'm like, okay, fine, but this has nothing to do with fitness, and you are a fitness kind of podcast or something like that.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's fine, but it's not. You need to try and educate these people. Don't just kind of pander to them and their other BS. Like, you actually have to give them a little bit of good stuff. And if it's not the easiest thing to digest, then, like, deal with it. Like, you've just chosen a particular path. Just roll with it a bit, you know? And I think that's where that can be kind of frustrating. And I think that's where even the likes of your program there, it's definitely well worth that kind of approach for a lot of coaches, I think, because it is quite a simple one. It also means that you definitely have a distinct period of time that you can build their awareness of the value. And it's really helpful, especially in the kind of training parallel world with it, because while they're training, they're also learning a lot of that, and they can start start developing a better awareness of exactly how that those small changes in diet can affect their training on a very quick and aggressive level. And it means that, like, that there's PRs kind of coming up, and they're like, oh yeah, but I've lost like 10, 12 kilos. And I'm like, yes, but all of your other stuff flies up because of that.
Yeah.
And it just makes so much easier of a buy-in. But I suppose bringing it now into that kind of a next kind of segment, and I suppose from a businessy kind of point of view, you're saying earlier on that you've changed kind of direction a little bit on the like dropping off of the kind of CrossFit affiliation, moving into a more just a different kind of a style on that. Could you speak a little bit about why you would have changed from that, but also nearly how has it affected you as a coach, or has it just made you a little bit more business oriented, and has that has been a natural progression because you're a very strong coach? Have you noticed that's where you're maybe kind of lacking in the businessy sense, or else you've actually just grown as a bit more of a confident business person, so you're just like, okay, we need this is a better way of doing it, if that makes sense?
Well, I think it's a bit of everything you just said there, to be honest. There's a bit of everything you just said. I can relate to most things. The thing is, I've been in CrossFit since 2008. Mm. I've been doing it. I've competed. I've coached. Yeah. Ran 2 affiliates. Loved it. I still love it. I watch the games. Yeah. Follow all the athletes. Mm-hmm. love like watching the videos, still have access to the journal, all that, go online, check all that stuff out. The reason why I moved, there's a few reasons why I moved away from CrossFit. Firstly, it's from a bit, as you said, business point of view was one of them, right? There's too many. I personally didn't like the fact that there were so many CrossFits growing in Ireland. The CrossFit community is a great community and all that. For what it is online, it's where it's most positive, I think. But I don't want to be tarnished with someone's bad CrossFit. And if you tell me that there's not a bad CrossFit out there, or a bad coach, and but there's bad coaches in every field, I'm not just saying that. I don't want to be associated with that. And still to this day, I get associated with as a CrossFit because I was one. I'm okay with it.
It's a constant battle in my mind. Don't get me wrong, absolutely.
And I'm okay with that. And when I did the affiliate, I was asked by a fair few coaches why. A few of the reasons why. I was annoyed by CrossFit at the time because I had a very ridiculous phone call from HQ, which I was very annoyed about. And I was on the fence in any way, and that kind of sealed the deal. I wanted to move my company, Functional Strength Movement, into its own entity and not be associated. I wanted to make it its own brand, and I have plans for FSM and another some new ventures with FSM going forward in the next 5 years. So I want to establish FSM as its own independent brand. And that was kind of it. I don't have any ill will. The last time I spoke with HQ, and I actually spoke to the people at HQ, I didn't just send emails, I rang them, they rang me as well. Their actual words were, "Stephen, we understand that you're going in your own direction. Thank you very much. If you ever want to affiliate again, we'll be happy to have you back." That was the last thing I spoke to HQ about. I have no issue with the top brass of CrossFit. Yeah. Other CrossFit affiliates apparently have some sort of issue because I left. I'm like a bad seed or something. Yeah. But before CrossFit, before I had a CrossFit, I had a personal training company and I did CrossFit. And I never once got slated for that. But for business-wise, I think it's an evolution. I think my evolution of what I want is to move away from CrossFit as a business because I'm looking more of longevity. I'm looking more along the lines of the kids programming. And I want to associate FSM with its own entity rather than being attached to the CrossFit brand. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I admire anyone that is a CrossFit. And I admire anyone that decides to leave. And I admire anyone that doesn't want to become a CrossFit. Because you have your own drive.
Exactly. And I think I completely agree. And like, I think knowing you very well, I think I would have no issue with whatsoever, I suppose. I think that like that, we would have looked at the experience that we would have had and that perspective of before we would have got into a particular realm, it'd be a CrossFit or functional fitness or whatever it is. And there definitely has to be that awareness that over a longer period of time, there has to be, like, as much as there's evolutions of coaching, there's evolution within the business. And I think that's where when a particular entity or a type of methodology expands quite a lot, you're always going to have, and I think it's a natural progression. I would have no issue with somebody de-affiliating or affiliating. I'm like, look, that's your complete business. But I think I can definitely respect where from a coaching point of view, you would become so mature enough to understand that, okay, look, I could try and continue to be a coach till the day I'm 90 or something like that and just kind of stuck in there, fine. But there needs to be a lot more awareness of how interested in what direction you want to go in. I think that's I know a lot of kind of younger coaches and they, having dealt with them a little bit before and kind of worked through with them in personal training courses and stuff like that, they would find it very difficult to kind of go, what should I do now? And you're like, okay, well, you're 20 or you're 19 or you're 22 or something like that. And I'm like, well, look, just, and I think the lads say it really well. Sometimes a lot of people, they're like, look, go and work in a kind of Globo gym first and then actually try and look at something like that after that. But for me, if I had found CrossFit when I was 20 or 19 or something like that, and I had got stuck into it, I'd be a very, very different kind of a coach than I am now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hugely thankful for the number of years I would have spent working in a distinctly and building an ability to actually coach, not just becoming just dictated by a particular methodology. Same as I see a lot of different, be it sprint coaches or athletics coaches or boxing coaches or whatever it is, and they're very, very pigeonholed in that. And there's a very lazy kind of mentality to the actual progression, and also in the likes of the business. I can completely relate to that. I think that's one of the things. I don't know if it's an awful lot of a mindset change, but do you think that is there a lot of negativity in the coaching kind of sense these days, or do you find that younger coaches can be more positive by social media, or do they just get dragged down by it a bit these days?
I think not all young coaches. I think young coaches need to understand that you have to pay your dues.
Yeah.
And everyone that's been in it, like me and yourself, like you said, a 22-year-old coach, if you had advice, give it a decade, and then you might have a better understanding of what you want. Now, there's guys out there that are amazing, and they're young lads, and they're doing really well for themselves. Mm-hmm. But I think that every coach has a life cycle.
Yeah.
I've been through it. And when I came all the way back around, I realized I knew nothing, and I still know nothing compared to what I can possibly learn, but it's how deep you want to go down the rabbit hole on one specific angle, or do you want to help people? Like I'm constantly learning, but I think coaches will go, they'll find that one mentor coach, and that's the God, and that's the dogma law, and then they'll start questioning him or her, and then they'll come out of that and then find their own little method, and then they'll do that, and then they'll come all the way back around and go, actually, everyone was kind of right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone's program works.
Yeah.
Shit, what will I do here? And then you have to hold your, either you quit the industry or hold your hand up and go, actually, yeah. So, and I think like the people that have OPEC certs and they love OPEC, or like Dan John, or they follow like Cal Strength, or they do Misfits Athletics, or they go CrossFit Mayhem, or they do whatever. The Bergeron is obviously the new, because he's like, and he's an amazing coach, but he's the new kind of up there coach that everyone's trying to follow. But in 2 years, there'll be someone new.
Exactly.
In 2 years from now, there'll be someone new, and everyone will be all, and all the new coaches will follow in their footsteps. But then they won't go back to the lines of like looking at Louis Simmons and Dave Tate. And it'll take a while. They'll all get in, like, they'll go dogma law on all them, and then they'll come back around and realize, okay, yeah, like to be the best powerlifter in the world, you need to train Westside.
Yeah.
But there's other powerlifting methods that could work just as well for the non-best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if you're a CrossFitter or you want to be a CrossFitter, then you have to find the right program that suits your athletes. I don't think it's just because Matt Frazier does it, you should do it. No, you're not Matt Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
Like firstly, you're not built like him. You didn't have the years of Olympic weightlifting. I got off there, but for coaches, for me, if I was to meet, I do that too much.
It's all good.
But if young coaches, I find that, they need to pay their dues. I think a lot of them don't. They want to walk in. They want to walk into a great job. They want to walk into great money. No one wants to intern. No one wants to actually work for nothing.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you're not working for nothing. You're learning from a coach. You're getting quality time on the floor. And if I had that opportunity when I started, like working in the global gym, I think makes you very humble.
Oh, extremely. Extremely.
So when you get the option to work with, like, well, I remember going down to East Coast Barbell for the first time and working, training with, like, literally the Irish squad at the time.
Yeah.
Unbelievable experience.
Really good.
Unbelievable experience. You know what I mean? And I paid for that. I get paid to be there as part of the membership. And I hung around and I learned from Barry and Sammy and Cahill. And like, Cahill Bird was my first ever coach. That's crazy. Cahill Bird, like one of Ireland's best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think coaches just need to, like, if you are a coach, understand that it's not okay. I'll just get six clients at 60 quid a go, 5 days a week, and I'm going to be 65, 70 grand up a year.
Mm.
It's not that easy. I wish it was. You like, no one knows how good you are, because you're like, you're only as good as the people that know how good you are.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to figure that out. You can figure it out half the time than it took us to get to where we are, because we can teach you if you're willing to listen to other people. And most coaches out there, if you're willing to pick up the phone and ring them and say, hey, can I buy you a coffee, or can I bring you for lunch and pick your brain about, I'm thinking about doing this, most coaches would say yeah. And coaches that want to charge you for that, I think, yeah, well,
yeah, Yeah, I think there's a value in that, exactly. I think I've done that with a number of coaches, and I'm like, I find it really, really helpful. For me, it's such a great way. It takes confidence, I think, obviously, and it takes a bit of patience, but you have to get into the, you have to allow yourself to get into the actual conversations, be it the awkward conversations. I don't know if I would be considered the best person to speak. I think a lot of people kind of think that I'm quite good at it, but I get quite self-conscious about it, and I'm like, oh, well, this is my, you know, really, really good coach. These are the likes of yourself or different people. I'm like, oh, these guys are really, really like my idols, you know, as other good coaches, because I see them doing really good work. But I can.
But we didn't start out. You didn't start out with that confidence.
No, exactly.
And I didn't start, like, you can walk in and command the room of many people in it and coach whatever you need to coach, and you could be sweating buckets or shitting a brick, but they don't know that.
Completely.
But you didn't start off with that confidence that you have now. But anytime I go down to teach, or well, not at FSM anymore, but anytime I go to do so or do a video or do something online, doing videos freaks me out. I have to prep so long for my videos because I freak out about them.
Yeah.
And then, are they going to come across right? And then, do I say the right words? And am I doing this? And I'm doing that? Like, the amount of footage that I have that I don't use because my confidence, I'm not confident enough to post them. A lot of stuff. So yeah, I think like that just comes with experience, and you have to kind of jump in. Like, I have a new intern for kids, and I'm getting him to be super, super excited about coaching. I was like, "Hey kids, we're going to do handstands today," and he's like, "I feel like an Egypt." I'm like, "Yeah, but they love it."
Yeah.
And there, and you keep doing that by the end of the year, you're it's going to be natural. You can just switch on.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge thing.
I think you're right. There is a lot of that. Would you have, I suppose, to kind of change tact a little bit towards the kind of the back end of this? Obviously, you've mentioned a number of really good coaches there, and I'm assuming they'd be the kind of ones the resources you like to kind of use as go to. I'm kind of into the my favorite coach these days, I think, at the moment, anyways, or one of my favorite coaches, Brett Bartholomew. Do you have any? Have you any? Are you reading any kind of a couple of books at the moment or anything like that that you're into and are kind of helping a lot, or is there any particular coaches that you're kind of like, okay, this is interesting kind of way to go? I know you would have been digging into a little bit of Wim Hof stuff.
Kind of over. I love that stuff. So that's just
that's a personal quest, is it?
Yeah, so after the Floating 150, I'm actually going to do a 10-week course. I'm going to sign up because it's a very in-depth course. You need to spend a fair bit of time on it, and I'm going to be kind of taking some time off my normal training. But like the Wim Hof stuff, that's just a personal thing for me because I enjoy it. I find the benefits of it. It's helped me recover. I just enjoy the challenge. I like a challenge, and there's I'm not going to wreck my hips from over squatting. You know what I mean? Like it's I like that. But coaches, like my go-to coach always is Dan John.
Yeah.
And it's always been Dan John. And regardless of what anyone says about him, the man keeps it simple. It's not simple progress. It's hard work, but he's able to explain it in the simplest format, is what I mean. He's not easy. It's not a simple program, but he's able to explain it to people simply so they can get it, rather than trying to overcomplicate your program and big using big words that adults in their 40s that have full-time jobs and kids have no interest in. They just want to lose weight, look good, naked stuff. I love James Fitzgerald, his OPEC stuff. I did some stuff with him before. It was really good. I'd like to get back into it, but again, it's just having the time commitment to go and study it. Ben Bergeron is someone that I kind of follow a little bit now. I like what he's been doing. I like his mentality towards coaching. And then they would be kind of my top pick now. But I'm sure if I delved into it, like the OGs of like, I loved all the Dave Tate and Jim Wendler stuff when it was a big thing at the time, all that stuff. I pretty much follow anything Chris Spieler talks about because I just think the way he coaches and the way he demos and explains things with Icon is really, really good. But again, you can pick up Brendan Chaplin in England. He's really good coach, strength and conditioning coach. But they're just I like guys that just make stuff non-complicated, because I'm not, I'm like, my brain can't handle all that stuff. It doesn't, like, I just, I've no interest in it. Like, I will learn it if I have to, if I need to, and I geek out on a fair bit of it, but if you can make it, if you can make it simple, and I just, I like the story aspect. I like people telling stories. I kind of retain more information if it's told through a story.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I like a lot, like all of those coaches. I think they all have appropriate.
Oh, Joel Jameson is another one. Yeah. I like some of their stuff. There's like, I kind of like a bit of everyone, but if you ask me to pick, Dan John would be the number one.
Yeah, I think he's definitely one. He's definitely one in my top three. Absolutely, like he's. I remember distinctly reading a few years back now, reading Never Let Go, and I was like,
yeah,
I absolutely love this book. Absolutely love it.
But it's what you need versus what you think they need.
Absolutely.
As a coach, like you're a coach. Oh, well, you need to do this. You really need to know how to do a hand push. Yeah. Really? No.
No.
You don't. What's your goal? Look good naked. Don't need a handstand pusher for that.
No. Need the ability to brace. That's about it.
Yeah.
From there on. Exactly. Exactly. No, so that's fantastic, Stephen. I'm gonna kind of leave it there, I think, if that's okay, dudes. So, guys, if you don't know Stephen, I'm at this stage, you pretty much do kind of know him a little bit. But you when you meet him in person, if you meet him in person, he's a great dude, big ass geezer.
a geezer, cheers. I felt old already. Like,
an OG is a little bit of geezer. I like Mike Berger's kind of geezer stuff as well. I think it's really good. I'd like to be that, I think, eventually. he's got a fantastic gym in Bray, guys. FSM. If you're ever in Bray, check it out. It's a fantastic place. Him and his coaching crew are really excellent. So Stephen, thanks so much for coming on, dude, and best
again
for
an hour
with the gym, and looking forward to kind of hearing more and seeing more from those different projects you're talking about. So thanks again, dude.
Yeah. Appreciate it. No, cool. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Good stuff.